You've seen in your bulletin that I've entitled today's message, "The Clock is Ticking." And I've just been reflecting these last days. I've just been thinking about not only these last days that we've come through, but the last days that the Bible refers to over and over and over. And I'm reminded on a regular basis of the evidences of the end times that Paul talks about to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That comes to my mind over and over and over as I have conversation with you guys and gals, and as I'm going about my daily activities, weekly activities. Those verses keep coming back to you. And I know I've said this before, and I know that you've heard it from other pastors before too, but I just feel, brothers and sisters, that time is running out. I just feel that the Lord's return is going to happen soon. And of course, I could be wrong, but the signs seem to be there. And you know, I was just thinking yesterday, and I was talking to a couple of our ladies that were here. I have now done 20 funerals in the last 16, 17 months. I've not been a pastor very long, and I've already done 45 funerals. And you say, "Jim, what's that got to do with anything?" And it just reminds me, eternity is constantly on my mind. Eternity is coming. Eternity is always before me in my thought processes. I pray for people around our communities every day for their salvation. I pray for people that are terminal. Well, guess what? We're all terminal. And so eternity is ever on my mind. And I wonder this morning, and feel free to give me some feedback on these questions. Do you think about eternity? Because a lot of society don't. I shared this with you a week or two ago. I did a funeral for a friend of mine up at Leader just 2 weeks ago or less here. And I was sitting with him just 4 days before he died. And I said, he was 67 years old. And he said, "What are you going to say at my funeral? I hope you're going to say something good." And I said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to talk about eternity. Because we don't think about eternity." And he's 67 years old. And he had 4 days left. And he said, "You know what? You're right. I haven't thought much about eternity." He had 4 days to go. I don't think the world thinks much about eternity, and yet it is ever before us. It is one breath away for all of us. It's one breath away. I got called here just the other night. I was on KP duty downstairs with some other folks, and we were trying to feed our children. And I got a distress call from the care center. I was the on-call pastor for the chaplaincy. And I said, "I'm really kind of busy right now. Maybe better try somebody else." And they tried to somebody else. And I said, "If you can't get anybody else, call me back." They called me back and said, "Can't get anybody else." I raced off to the care center, and I was 5 minutes too late. We are one breath away from eternity. Her heart was still beating. Her breath was gone. Eternity is ever before my mind. Folks, it's even at the door. For you and I, you may think, "Well, I'm young. I'm younger than you, Jim, even." Well, that may be so. But eternity is one breath away for all of us. And I wonder if we just shouldn't spend some more time thinking about eternity. And I wonder if we shouldn't spend some serious time preparing for eternity. You know what? If we ain't thinking about it, we ain't preparing for it. If we have not got eternity in our vision, in our sight, we probably aren't preparing for it. And so I've just been reminded again these last days, eternity is so close. Whether Jesus returns, and I pray this at committal services all the time, we're looking forward to that bright and glorious morning when the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall raise. You know what? Whether that happens soon or not, I think it will, but we are still all just one breath away from eternity. And so are our neighbors. So are the people we work with, that we live around, that we visit across the fence or across the boundary, one breath away from eternity. This last week I received a very nice little letter from a young lady. She had been here at the Shorty Allen funeral. And in the letter she stated that, she said, when you said, Pastor, we are all terminal, she said, it really woke me up. This is a young lady. She's Samantha's age. She's about her age in high school, which is what, 25, 26, something like that. 26, I think. And she said, it really woke me up when you said we are really all terminal. And she writes us a quote, wow, that gave me chills. It is so true. It is so true. And this week as we did VBS, I thought of all the stories from Acts that you have told our children. Good stories of Peter and John meeting the lame man in the name of Jesus, raising him. Of Paul's journey and Paul getting bit by the viper and God setting people free, Peter from jail, and all these things. And I'm wondering about all these children, 105 children total, 106, whatever it was. I wondered about all these children. I've been praying for these children about their freedom too in Christ. I wonder and pray almost daily for souls in Motley and Leader and around here in our families. Please, God, bring them unto yourself. Eternity is one breath away. Eternity is coming, brothers and sisters, and I wonder if we're ready. I know as a nation we are not ready. I know as a humanity we are not ready. And you may say, what's the urgency, Jim? I got a ways to go. Well, first of all, just consider a couple things. Number one, the eternal consequences of not being ready equals hell. And I don't think we think about that very often. The eternal consequences of not being ready for heaven, not having invited Christ to be Lord of my life and surrendered my all to Him is hell. That's consequence enough. And secondly, consider the signs that Jesus spoke about. Consider the signs that Paul spoke about. Peter and John spoke about it to some degree. And just consider the times. I believe it is even at the door. And so I want to look at 2 Timothy 3 this morning just for a minute. And I only want to pick two phrases out of that whole litany of things that Paul says to Timothy about the last days. I only want to pick two. And I want to focus on that for a few minutes this morning. So if you have your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3. At first, I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation. Then I'm going to refer to a couple of these phrases in the New King James. And so, Tim, do you have it in the New King James? That's fine. I'm going to read it to you first of all, because it's only four or five verses, in the New Living Translation. Listen to what it says. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will only love themselves and their money. And as Paul is laying this out to young Timothy, listen to it closely and see the application for today. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud. They will be scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Verse 5. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that, Paul tells Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the New King James Version in verses 4 and 5. I only want to refer to two phrases. Number one, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes. And verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. He's got this long array of things here that will happen, that will be part of life. It will be who people are. It's how we're living in those last times. Perilous times will come, he says in the New King James Version. And you will know it by identifying people in this way. And I just want to speak to two of them, the last two. When I look at that phrase that says lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, I ask myself, does that not describe humanity today perfectly? And don't get me wrong, brothers and sisters, I'm not against having fun. I'm not against having fun at all. But we are so wrapped up in amusing ourselves. We are so wrapped up in what's in it for me. We are woefully have fallen into this category of becoming, as a society, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I like sports. You like sports. Most of you. Some of you ladies may not. Or you probably like some kind of sports. But our society today is consumed with pleasure and fun and amusing ourselves at all costs. We are consumed by the frenzy and the hype today of the World Cup. I don't have a channel that gets this stuff, but I know it's on. And last week it was the NBA. I don't have a channel that gets that either, but I know it was on. And the week before that it was the Stanley Cup. And I didn't see that either, but I know it was on too. Because we were talking about that at our annual conference meeting, weren't they, Maricela? Talking about them Blackhawks. A whole lot of folks in our conference from Chicago area. I guess they won. And there's just no limit on the pleasures that we want to grab up. There's no limits anymore on what we pay people for pleasures. And please, like I said, don't get me wrong. I like sports too. I was an athlete too, and some of you were. But in the world of professional men's and women's sports, the money that we're throwing around is unbelievable. We just built in America a $1 billion stadium to play football in, and we will build more. We pay people mind-boggling amounts of money. I heard on a news broadcast on computer or something that we were boasting about spending $21 million to renovate a veterans hospital because we're dumping in so many men and women that have been beat up in the wars, brain damages, and all manner of affliction. So we're crowing a little bit about putting $21 million in there to renovate this building, and yet King James, those of you that are basketball fans know who I'm talking about, gets that much in a year playing basketball. I like LeBron James, don't get me wrong. I admire that young man who was raised by a single mom and went from high school, stepped into the pros, and was the last 2 years the MVP. I admire him, but the money that we throw out for pleasure is staggering. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God fits today. Casinos. We even have a name for vehicles today. We call them recreational vehicles. We want to amuse ourselves. And I'm not against, I like to fish, I like to hunt, I like to play ball, I like to watch a ball game. I'm not against any of that, please don't get me wrong. But our society is consumed by pleasure and amusing ourselves. And I ask myself, is heaven about amusing ourselves? I don't think so. We will be in joy in the presence of the Almighty. Casinos. We even have a name for vehicles today. We call them recreational vehicles. We want to amuse ourselves. And I'm not against, I like to fish, I like to hunt, I like to play ball, I like to watch a ball game. I'm not against any of that. Please don't get me wrong. But our society is consumed by pleasure and amusing ourselves. And I ask myself, is heaven about amusing ourselves? I don't think so. We will be in joy in the presence of the Almighty. But I see this phrase, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And I see, brothers and sisters, today, oh, how it fits to society today. Sports games abound, fishing tournaments, golf tournaments, car racing, horse racing, gambling, casinos, entertainment, amusement, and all that stuff. And even on Sundays, when I think it was God that said, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I think we just talked about that a while back. And brothers and sisters, I'm not sure holiness in amusement, I'm not sure that's a fair trade-off. I could be wrong, but I see our society today falling into this category in a real serious way. And so I conclude with this, and you may disagree, and that's okay, we can talk about that. But can we face this fact? I believe this is a fact. We are a society that is far more interested in pleasure than God. As a society, as a culture of people around the Western Hemisphere and perhaps around the world, we are a society that is far more interested in pleasure as a whole than God. Point number two. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. I'm going to try to be real careful here, but folks, listen to me on this. Just going to church on an occasional Sunday is not going to get her done for heaven. You know what I'm saying? Please hear me out. I'm not condemning church attendance or the lack thereof. But until we have decided to surrender wholly to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, until we have decided to repent of all known sin and invite the Savior and the Holy Spirit of God to come into us and change us and transform us and be born again, we are not ready for heaven. Brothers and sisters, when Paul said, perilous times will come, and he concludes with, these people, Timothy, beware, they will have a form of godliness, but they will deny its power. Folks, if we have not been born again, that's Jesus' words from John chapter 3, verse 3. If we have not been born again, if our spirit that was disconnected because of the sin of Adam and Eve and that inherited sin, we have been disconnected, our spirit is disconnected with God, and if it has not been rejoined and born again, as Jesus told the religious leader, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I am a sinner and I need a Savior is the bottom line. Transformed, crying out, Lord God in heaven, forgive me. I recognize you have sent Jesus Christ to die for my wretchedness and my worthless self. I need you. Forgive me and come into my life. Being born again, reconnected with the Father through faith in Jesus Christ, and His Spirit comes into us and helps us be a new person. Changed, a new creation. Having a form of godliness, but denying the very power which is Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God is not going to get her done for heaven. And Timothy, Paul is reminding young Timothy, beware because they are going to be there. And please forgive me, I am not condemning denominations. I'm not condemning people. I'm just saying, we ain't fooling nobody. If our form of godliness does not take on the power of the resurrected Christ, that's all it is a form of godliness. Wasn't it Jesus that said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven? Wasn't that the words of Jesus? And what he is saying is the same things that Paul is telling Timothy. There's some folks that have a form of godliness and don't know its power. They have a form of an appearance, an outward appearance, if you will, of being all that. But they don't know the power, the life-changing power of Jesus. Here's what he said in Matthew 21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And Jesus said, I will declare to them, I don't know who you are. I've never known you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, having some form of godliness on the external is not going to get it done for the kingdom of heaven. It must start in our heart. And please hear my heart today, because I see eternity every day. I see people dying every day. You see the obituaries in the papers all around us every day. People are going to eternity every moment of every day, and millions do not know Jesus. And when they go into eternity apart from Jesus, guess what? There's only one option left. Whether we like to talk about hell or not, it is a reality. Folks, I see eternity beckoning us. As Isaiah said, hell is hungry. And so I am simply pleading with you today, know that you know Christ. Help your neighbors know Christ. Help your family know Christ. He's the only way. And I know that seems narrow-minded. I just got done watching The Case for Faith by Lee Strobel. He's now got it in CD form. And as an atheist, who he used to be, he used to think, how dare you arrogant Christians think Jesus is the only way to heaven? And that's what the world thinks of you Christians today. How dare you think Jesus is the only way to heaven? Brothers and sisters, that's what this says. And if we can't go by this, we got nothing. Jesus is the answer. So please hear my heart today, brothers and sisters. Eternity is coming. Eternity is calling our name. And if you have not made preparations with Jesus Christ as your Lord, you're not ready for heaven. I can't help if you're 40, 50, 60, 80 and have been in church all your life. If you've never welcomed Christ, invited Him, come into my life, Lord Jesus, repented of your sin, we are not ready for heaven. The Bible is really clear about that. Really clear about that in all kinds of places. I don't have the time to go over them now. The world outside of us, brothers and sisters, I know it to be true because I've talked to them, I've read about it. The world outside of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord is still saying to you Christians, how dare you think you've got the only way to heaven? There are 6 billion people in the world today, friends. Less than 2 billion even claim to be Christians. That's a whole lot of folks' remainder. The world, by and large, does not recognize that hell is a reality. Having a form of godliness is not going to get it done for the kingdom of God. Jesus is the only way. Was it not also Jesus that told the religious people of the day in Matthew 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win a proselyte," convert he means, "and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you yourselves." Do you know what he's saying? Do you know what he's saying to the religious leaders that day? You're going over land and you're going over sea. You're searching far and wide to grab up somebody and become a Jew, and yet you're missing the point of Jesus. And when you've gone over land and sea and you've worked hard to gather up this one proselyte, this one convert, and bring them into your circle outside of Jesus, all you've done is made them twice as much a son or daughter of hell as you yourselves are. In other words, he's saying it's going to be that much harder to get them to know the truth of Jesus, because all you've done is you've gathered them up, you've told them you got to do this, that, and the other thing to be a member or whatever, and now he said you've really made them twice as much a son of hell as you yourselves, Pharisees, already are. Do not seek converts to anything, he's telling them, but Jesus. I see folks on the street corners. I see folks across my yard and my neighbor's house trying to get converts to something else other than the saving knowledge of the incarnate Jesus. I'm not trying to badmouth anybody. I'm not trying to denounce any religions or any denominations, but folks, we better get it right because eternity's coming. We might think we have lots of time. I'm sure my friend out there, leader Don, thought he had a little while at least to go. He had 4 days from the day I had conversation with him about eternity. I'm sure the call that I got on Friday night here, that family, this lady was only 60 plus. I'm sure they thought perhaps she had some more time. She didn't make it from the time I left here till I got to Staples. I'm just saying, folks, we don't know how long we got. We might have been in church off and on all our lives, but if we have not invited Christ to be Lord of our lives, we are not ready for heaven. We are not ready for that eternity. So we have two challenges here before us today. Do we know the power that Paul is telling Timothy about? Do we just have some form of godliness that makes other people think, well, he must be a Christian. Jim must be a Christian because he goes to church every now and then. Or do we really know the power, the life-changing power of Jesus? Because if we do not know Christ as Lord, I'm not talking about do you believe in God. I am talking about do you know Jesus Christ as Lord? Do you know that power, that Holy Spirit power that comes into you when you accept Christ as Lord? Do we know the power that Paul is talking about? And brothers and sisters, if you don't know the power that I'm talking about, that Jesus gave to us by his life on the cross, all we have to do is put our faith in him and repent of our sin and surrender ourselves to him. If we don't know that power, I'm going to ask you to come and pray with me today before tomorrow's too late. And if you do know that life-changing power, brothers and sisters, let me ask you this. Are you concerned for the missing or not? Because they are around us. To the tune of 4+ billion in the world, they are around us. And heaven is knocking at our doors.